You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous. At this time, we ask that you turn off all cell phones, unless, of course, you're using them to listen to this podcast, in which case, please keep it on. And please refrain from any flash photography, as it is dangerous to the performers of this podcast. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
You see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Oh, sweet pea. You're right in my spot. Oh, stop. You sat in my spot. I didn't sit in yours. Okay, I've got 51% on my iPad, so I should be okay. Welcome!
What's up, theater geeks?
Do you know what I've been doing for the last couple of recordings when what? I've been editing was actually leaving in the little bits and pieces before the welcome. And I actually, when I'm listening back, I think it's the most hysterical thing. So I may leave that in too. But you know, I think our fans come to expect certain things from us. And complete unprofessionalism is one of them.
Listen, if Karen and Georgia can just chit-chat, and they don't even always say their names at the beginning.
That's true. What do you mean, Ebony? We didn't say them either. I'm Pamela.
Not yet, and this is Ebony.
You have stumbled upon Theater Geeks Anonymous, the show where we talk about Broadway flops, scandals, and new works.
I have to tell you, Megan says now, anytime she sees it, because I was writing a press release for us, anytime she sees it, she just hears your voice in her head saying it.
That's what my goal was. See, I'm trying to take over the world with my voice.
I think it's working.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Because people are just like walking around Midtown going, Broadway flops, scandals, and new works. Amazing. I think that's the first time you've ever sung on this podcast with me.
No, I think we've only chanted.
Yeah,
like
we, that
most
was a chant.
That I will do. Oh, no. Bye bye, Birdie.
That's
we
right.
We love you, Conrad. Yep.
Oh, yes, sweetie. Oh, hey. Yeah. Some sad news.
Tom Meehan
passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
You'll know him as one of the co-writers of Annie. As we spoke about in Annie 2, Miss Hannigan's Revenge.
And then he also did Cry Baby.
Oh, he did. That's right. Ah, I love it.
Yeah.
He was pervasive. You know, it's funny, like, not funny, but really a tribute, because a lot of my friends on Facebook who have been in Broadway shows have put little memoriams on their Facebook pages for Tom Meehan, and they're just story after story about what an amazing man he was. Not just a talented human being, mm-hmm. but just a really true, honest to goodness, good man. And mm-hmm. I love hearing stories like that.
He was the one in the story who Annie Warbucks, when mm-hmm. we talked about Annie too, he took the fall.
Yeah.
You know, that whole team, that whole creative team really was like, it's on us. It's not mm-hmm. on you all. And we don't want you all to feel like you're not doing a good job.
Right.
So
I love that.
I think that just reiterates, you know, what your friends have said.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was a class act.
Oh,
I know.
Well, our condolences to his family and everyone he has worked with, and what did he have something to do with the Prince of Broadway?
I think so, but I'm not exactly sure to what extent.
Right. I felt like when I was watching, you know, when I was reading about it, mm-hmm. that they had said something about him being involved with the Prince of Broadway in some capacity.
Yeah.
So condolences to everyone who worked with
him.
Yeah,
most definitely. And unfortunately, this actually will not air until October.
Right.
We're going to do a mini-sode, though, coming up here soon. So hopefully we'll mention it a little bit you know, more recently, certainly, than this episode will air. But we still feel it because he was a good man. So rest in peace, Tom. And just comfort and peace to your family.
Yeah.
We brought the whole thing down.
I know.
There's no way to come up from that. Okay, bye.
Bye.
No, that's not true at all, actually, because Thomas Meehan is the perfect example of why we do this podcast.
Yeah.
He is one of those people that was involved in a show that didn't make it for one reason or another.
A couple of shows.
Well, yes. Yeah. I'm just saying generally, you know, but, you know, and there's lots of people like him who are incredibly talented and who are incredibly good people, and they fail. You know, everyone fails. Everyone has their successes and everyone has their failures. So this is kind of our tribute to those people.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, Pamela and I were talking about this, and that's one of the things that has been so encouraging about doing this podcast is to see the level of talent that... Oh, wow.
I'm getting telemarketer calls all the time. I'm so sorry. No. Let me just turn that off. Sorry, everybody.
the thing that's encouraged us as we've been doing research for this podcast is just the level of talent that we've studied, and those people who have had, like, you know, shows that didn't find an audience and didn't make back their money and weren't quote unquote successes. But they continue to keep going.
Yeah.
And sometimes even with the same show, you know, like She Loves Me is a prime example.
Absolutely.
Like the first time it came out, it was not a success. And
that,
like,
was with Barbara Cook. So if you can't succeed with Barbara Cook as your leading lady.
Right.
You know, but yeah, you're right. It came back.
It kept going because even, you know, from the time that, you know, Barbara Cook did it on Broadway and then Laura Benanti did it, like, it was regional theater, community theater, high schools. Like, I grew up thinking it was a hit because I knew She Loves Me, right? Yeah. And She Loves Me is, like, something that all high schools love to do. So I had no idea that it wasn't considered a hit.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, dear. Puddle.
Oh my gosh, what did you eat?
Was it a bad one?
No, I think I swallowed some. I think probably the fan is just keeping it right in front of my face.
Do you want to get the essential oils? I'm scared it's gonna come over here now.
Okay, I'm gonna pause this.
Oh, we can already smell the Christmas spirit.
Isn't it nice?
Mm-hmm.
I had to turn on the diffuser because Puddle's tooting. It was really noxious and obnoxious. So I, you know,
we preempted the issue.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's very nice.
I use Young Living oils, essential oils, and this one's called Christmas Spirit, and it's kind of like balsam and clove,
and has a little bit of orangey.
Orange is in it. It's very nice. I know. I like it a lot. I might get a big bottle next time. This is just like a little 5 milliliter, but I want like a 15 milliliter.
So nice. We've gone on tangents.
I know. Oh, 7 minutes and 39 seconds worth of tangents. It's fun though, right?
Yeah, that's good.
It's what we live for. It's why you love us. So today's show,
we're very excited, guys.
So excited.
So if you haven't picked up on it by now, we're doing a theme every month. So August was back to school. In September, we did like a Labor Day sort of workforce type thing. And then it's October. So now we're going to do
out.
It's chilly.
Everyone's putting, I hope it's going to be chilly.
I hope so too.
Not an extension of summer like it was last year.
No. I mean, this summer hasn't been the worst.
No, but still I hate it.
I hate summer too. I do too. But I was like just thinking on the way here, this is not the worst. My mosquito bites have.
You're right. The mosquito bites have been. I think I got one at like right at the beginning of the season, and I haven't gotten one since. Knock on lots of wood and on all the wood.
Yeah, me too.
But they've been spraying the crap out of this neighborhood.
Oh, have they? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So, I think they're going to be spraying again. So what they do is they like send out big trucks full of pesticide, mm-hmm. which is terrible for both humans and animals.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And they start at like 9 p.m. and they go until 6 a.m. and they just drive up and down each street spraying everything.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I had one got caught in my bedroom. And that sucker, it was after Tony's night.
Yes.
The door was open and closed mm-hmm. so much, and we had the windows and whatnot, and it was humid.
Yep.
One went into my room and just feasted on the whole right side of my body. Huge welts. And the next morning, I was like, what the frick? And so I found it. Like
he just fat, bloody mosquito.
He was, like, so huge.
He couldn't get anywhere.
I know.
He was like, oh, darn, I shouldn't have eaten so much.
You're dead. Also, I'm doing a fogger in my room.
Yep.
Because if you have brothers and sisters, yep. they're all going down
as well.
If you
happen to lay some eggs in a stagnant cup of water that happened to be on my bedstand. Yeah, no kidding.
You're
yeah,
all going
they
down.
All have to die.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the first question I ask.
God.
When I go to heaven.
Yes, why? Why the mosquitoes?
Because I get that some bugs are food for other bugs and they have
right.
no other purpose. But like, what? Why did you create a bug that is just food for other bugs, but that feasts upon my blood?
Yeah.
I hate
and
them
spreads
so
diseases.
Much. And spreads disease. Lots of diseases.
Yeah.
Ugh. Just horrible
the
things.
The worst creature.
And that's another tangent.
I know.
I just, love it.
And now we're like,
we should
minutes.
Call it Tangents Geeks Anonymous.
So funny.
We could keep the same logo. Tangential.
I went off that tangent, but guys, it's October.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And so,
this month, we are celebrating Halloween.
I love creepy stuff. I love Halloween. I love because October is like it's fall, but there's a very specific October feeling. Like you wake up that morning and you're like, it feels like Halloween today. Like it's that I love it crisp and it's kind of gloomy and kind of wet.
Gloomy and wet.
I know it's weird, but it's true. Oh, so today's episode is a Rocky Horror Show.
So excited.
Yes. I am excited as well because I have done this show a couple of times when not in like an actual production of it, but when I was touring with Wicked, we used this show as a benefit performance for BCEFA, which is Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, a few times. The first time we ever did it, we did it in Denver, and it's so interesting because like the entire cast of people that decided to do it, which included not only the cast members of Wicked, but it also included some crew members, stage manager, general manager, you know, people like that. Everybody came out to support and do it. Nobody thought it was going to be very successful. And then it was like the place was packed. Like standing room only, kind of mosh pit mm-hmm. style, and everyone loved it.
It's because it's Rocky Horror.
It's Rocky Horror. And I get that too, because I love Rocky Horror too,
yeah.
but I still didn't think it was going to be as successful. Now, the second time we did it, this was the best. We were in Las Vegas, and our stage
that
manager.
Already sounds amazing.
I know. Our stage manager was able to book the Tropicana. For us to perform this in. It was the most amazing experience ever. It's really interesting. The more times you do a show like that in like different venues, but it's the same show, just a different production of it, mm-hmm. the more you get from it, the more you glean from the script. And also like the different people that perform each role, you'll hear something different. They'll say a line in a different way that you never thought of before. It's really spectacular. I love that part. That's why I love live theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool that way. But so let's just get started. So the Rocky Horror Show, not to be confused with the Rocky Horror Picture Show, is a musical with music, lyrics, and book by Richard O'Brien. It's a humorous tribute to the science fiction and horror B movies of the late 1940s through the early 1970s. The musical tells the story of a newly engaged couple getting caught in a storm and coming to the home of a mad transvestite scientist, Dr. Frank N. Furter, unveiling his new creation, a sort of Frankenstein-style monster in the form of an artificially made, fully grown, physically perfect muscle man named Rocky Horror, complete with blonde hair and a tan. Produced and directed by Jim Sharman, the original London production of the musical premiered at the Royal Court Theatre. And it has in parentheses upstairs, so I'm thinking maybe there's two theaters. Yeah. So it's the upstairs theater. On June 19th, 1973, and after two previews on the 16th and 18th of June 1973, before moving to several other locations in London and closing on September 13th, 1980, running for a total of 2,960 performances and winning the 1973 Evening Standard Theater Award for Best Musical.
Wow.
I know.
And it, then, of course, we didn't get it.
I know.
Which is pretty normal.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. Well, it was definitely ahead of its time. You've got the lead role is a transvestite.
Yeah.
And how much more out of our comfort zone could we possibly get with that kind of a character in America in the 70s? Its 1974 debut in the U.S. in Los Angeles had a successful nine-month run, but its 1975 Broadway debut at the Belasco Theater lasted only three previews and 45 showings, despite earning one Tony nomination and three Drama Desk nominations for the show. I'm not sure exactly for what, though.
45 performances total,
mm-hmm.
including the previews.
Three previews,
45 actual performances.
Mm-hmm.
After 2000.
I know.
Geez.
After, you know, years of being in London. So, various international productions have since spanned across six continents as well as West End and Broadway revivals and eight UK tours. Actor Tim Curry, who originated the role of Dr. Frankenfurter in the original London production, became particularly associated with the musical. Very true. Like, nobody thinks of Tim Curry and doesn't automatically pop up with that beautiful transvestite in mind.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't.
No.
You can't not do it. Especially the end scene where they come out of the pool and all he's got is this tiny little ponytail sticking up. It's so cute. That's
so
what
good.
I remember.
He's the best.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show is a powerful musical that sparked a cult movement through its movie musical adaptation. Rocky Horror's magnetic power not only drew audiences in and kept them coming back for more, but also roused them to blur the boundaries between stage and audience through audience pantomime, and this allowed audiences to enter the fantasy and ritual of the world, which is very cool. Have you ever been... I'll ask you in just a second. Let me finish reading this first. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll go on another tangent, and we don't want that. Rocky Horror brings together people from all walks of life, and through its compelling attraction, explores, in the spirit of glam rock, the liberation from normative heterosexuality, celebration of androgyny, and queer sexual awakenings. The musical was adapted into the 1975 film The Rocky Horror Picture Show, starring O'Brien, Richard O'Brien, who wrote the entire thing, as Riff Raff. Did you know that?
No.
I think I knew that at one point, but I had forgotten until I did the research for this, and I was like, oh, yeah! And he was great. And also with Curry reprising his role as Dr. Frankenfurter. The film has the longest running release in film history. In 2016, it was adapted into the television film The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Let's Do the Time Warp Again. I didn't know that either. And I'm not sure exactly.
I've not heard of it.
No.
Yeah.
Me neither. And so that I should have done some research on that and I didn't. But wait, let me click on the link and see if it takes me anywhere. And it does. I'm going to read you. This is all impromptu, everybody. Okay, so the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Let's Do the Time Warp Again, also known as the Rocky Horror Picture Show and the Rocky Horror Picture Show Event, is a 2016 American musical comedy television film.
Oh, wait. I know. This is the one that just happened.
Yeah.
Oh, this I knew about. Totally knew about this because...
Oh, on Fox. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I just didn't see it because the original
live one
holds such a good place in my heart. But let me... I'll finish reading this. Yeah.
What's his face from American Idol was in it?
Adam Lambert.
Yeah. Adam Lambert and then...
Annalee Ashford.
Oh, man.
Laverne Cox played Frankenfurter. Yeah. Victoria Justice, who did a Disney Channel show called Victory, something like that.
I don't know that one.
Christina Milian.
Oh, yeah.
Reeve Carney. Ben Vereen was in it. Tim Curry made an appearance.
I didn't see it.
Okay. I'm going to go back now to the original script.
Okay.
I didn't see it either. In early 1977, the first shadow cast, the cast that pantomimes the film, appeared at the Fox Venice Theater in Los Angeles. And since then, the film has gone on to be a cult phenomenon. Wow, I was trying to say that five times fast. Cult phenomenon, best known for its heavy audience participation, midnight showings, and decadence. Have you ever been to the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the movie theater?
I have not.
Okay, well, you would be known as a virgin. And upon entering the theater, you would be given a black V on your forehead, indicating that you are a virgin to this experience.
This is excellent.
It is. I actually have a bunch of other stuff that, some of the stuff that happens during the show or that you can expect to see when you go to one of these midnight showings. There are props, and the props are a must. Some things that you must bring are rice for the wedding scene, which happens right at the beginning. Brad and Janet are going to their friend's wedding, and so they're leaving the wedding and on their way to go and see another friend, and I'll get into this later when I talk about the synopsis. Rice is thrown, showing that they're leaving this wedding.
Okay.
Water pistols for when it rains. Glow sticks for the Over at the Frankenstein Place song. Toast when they propose a toast. Toilet paper when they unwrap Rocky. That's the fun part. They just throw toilet paper up at the screen. A newspaper again. So, like, when it's raining and they have to go from their car over to the Frankenstein place. Mm-hmm. Over to the castle. And that's, I mean, there's a lot more props, but that's a lot of them to list right now. And number three is that you will be dancing to the time warp. And if you don't know how to do it, here are the steps. It's just a jump to the left, and then a step to the right. Put your hands on your hips, and bring your knees in tight. That is the pelvic thrust that really drives you insane. Let's do the time warp again. Oh, you created a harmony with me. Very nice. But most importantly, you mustn't take yourself too seriously and you must have fun. Those are the rules. It's fun, and there's like websites devoted to the putting these shows on and doing them together. So I actually went to go see my first one, and I will be very honest and say that I did not let them know that I was a virgin because I don't like putting myself... Yeah. I don't like... being the center of attention unless I've, you know, I'm telling you that I want to be.
Yeah.
Anywho, that's my own vulnerability speaking. And yes, I do probably need a therapist. But I was doing a show in Indianapolis, and a friend of mine who I had done a show in Indianapolis before, she was playing Janet. And so a bunch of us after our show went to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show at downtown in Indianapolis. I don't remember exactly where. And it was just so much fun because I love the movie. But then to add that element, it's fun. It's just fun.
I need to do that one Halloween because Halloween's not my favorite.
Really?
It's not. But it's like if I find something fun to do.
Yeah.
Like then it's like last year, all I did was like sit with a friend and watch Ghostbusters. But like that was so fun for me. Yeah, that was so fun.
I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah. We watched like the both original of them.
The new one's fun too. Yeah. I got to see it on a plane when I was traveling somewhere or other, and I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Okay, so here's the synopsis of the show, and I'm just going to go into detail here. Act one. The usherette, sometimes referred to as Trixie, who works in a derelict cinema, introduces tonight's film in a song, science fiction double feature.
This is the film synopsis, not the show synopsis.
No, this is the show. This is the show. They're basically the same thing. They did have to make some changes.
So why the name differences?
Because one is a picture and one is a show.
Okay.
It is different that way. They did have to make some slight differences because they were filming over being on stage. But I think it's kind of fun too to say that one is the Rocky Horror Show because it is all on stage, and one is the Rocky Horror Picture Show because it is the movie. I think I like that kind of delineation.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun that way. But they're both the same show.
Okay.
With minor differences. After I made such a big deal about that earlier. After attending the wedding of his best friend since high school, Brad Majors confesses his love to Janet Weiss and the two become engaged. The narrator appears and explains that Brad and Janet are leaving Denton to visit Dr. Everett Scott, their former science tutor, while driving into a rainstorm. During the trip, their car has a flat tire and they are forced to walk through the rain to seek a telephone in an old castle. As you do. The narrator explains that Brad and Janet are feeling apprehensive and uneasy, but must accept any help that they are offered. As Brad and Janet arrive, Riff Raff, the hunchbacked handyman and live-in butler, greets them, and his sister Magenta, the maid, appears. Riff Raff, Magenta, and Columbia, a groupie, speak briefly to an unlucky delivery boy named Eddie, who fell victim to the unfortunate circumstances because he botched a delivery before performing the show's signature dance number, the Time Warp! Brad and Janet try to leave at this point, but are stopped when Dr. Frankenfurter, a pansexual cross-dressing mad scientist, arrives. It's very descriptive.
Yeah.
He introduces himself as a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania and invites Brad and Janet up to his laboratory. Frank announces that he has discovered the secret to life itself. He unveils his creation, a blonde, well-built man named Rocky Horror, who is brought to life. A Coca-Cola freezer in the laboratory opens to reveal Frank and Columbia's former lover, Eddie, a biker covered in surgical scars, who has been rendered a slightly more brain-damaged zombie. Intent on rescuing Columbia and escaping the castle while successfully causing large amounts of damage to Frank's laboratory, Frank forces Eddie back into the freezer and hacks him to death. Frank tells Rocky, the recipient of the other half of Eddie's brain, that he prefers him over Eddie. Brad and Janet, somewhat flustered after witnessing the re-murdering of Eddie.
I know. Somewhat flustered.
That's why I love this show. They are then ushered to separate bedrooms for the night. Act two. The narrator foreshadows that Brad and Janet may be unsafe. Janet enjoys Brad's advances in her darkened bedroom before realizing that it is Frank in disguise. He convinces Janet that pleasure is no crime, and after she asks him to promise not to tell Brad, they resume their lovemaking. The scene changes to Brad's darkened bedroom, where Brad makes love to Janet before discovering that once again it is Frank in disguise. Frank promises not to tell Janet, but as they resume, Riff Raff interrupts on the television monitor with the message that Rocky has escaped. Janet searches for Brad in the laboratory and discovers Rocky hiding there. Checking the television monitor, Janet sees Brad in bed with Frank and seduces Rocky. While searching the television monitor for Rocky, the rest of the group discovers that Janet has slept with him, and Brad becomes hurt and angry. Riff Raff then notifies Frank that there's another visitor entering the castle, Dr. Everett Scott, the paraplegic science tutor whom Brad and Janet intended to visit. What a coincidence! Dr. Scott is pushed into the laboratory by Columbia. Oh, because he's in a wheelchair. That's why it says right. that. Where Frank accuses him and Brad of trying to investigate his castle, knowing that Dr. Scott has connections with the FBI. Dr. Scott assures him that he has come in search of Eddie, who is revealed to be his nephew. Frank displays Eddie's corpse to the group and then uses a device to electronically restrain the three visitors and rebellious Rocky to the floor. The inhabitants of the castle are revealed to be space aliens led by Frank, who abandoned their original mission in order to engage in kinky sex with earthlings and work on Rocky. Magenta insists that they return to their home planet now that they have been found out. Frank refuses and instead declares his intentions to put on a floor show. Under Frank's influence, Columbia, Rocky, Brad, Janet perform a song and dance routine while clad in lingerie. The show comes to an abrupt end when Riff Raff and Magenta enter wearing spacesuits and carrying ray guns. Riff Raff declares that he is usurping Frank's authority and taking them all back to their home planet. Frank makes a final plea for sympathy from Riff Raff, trying to make him understand his desire to spend the rest of his life having sex with earthlings. Riff Raff is unmoved and guns down Columbia, Frank, and Rocky before ordering Brad, Janet, and Dr. Scott to leave. As the trio evacuates the castle, Riff Raff and Magenta express their excitement to return to the world and do the time warp again with their fellow Transylvanians. Brad and Janet watch as the castle blasts off into outer space, confused about the implications of their sexual escapades. Not that the castle is going off into space, but about their confusion about sexuality. To conclude this tale, the narrator says, "And crawling on the planet's face, insects called the human race, lost in time and lost in space and meaning." That's a heck of a synopsis right there.
It's crazy.
And it is it is that confusing.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much going on with the script. It's really kind of, it's very interesting, but fun to watch. It's definitely one of those shows that you have to see over and over again to really get all of the implications. So some of the history of the show, this is actually kind of fun. As an out-of-work actor in London in the early 1970s, Richard O'Brien wrote the Rocky Horror Show to keep himself busy on winter evenings. Since his youth, O'Brien had developed a passion for the science fiction and B-horror movies, and he wanted to combine elements of the unintentional humor of B-horror movies, portentous dialogue of schlock horror, Steve Reeves muscle flicks, and 50s rock and roll into the Rocky Horror Show. A major theme running throughout the musical is transvestitism, which, according to O'Brien, was not originally meant to be as prominent as it would be, as it would end up being. O'Brien conceived and wrote the play set against the backdrop of a glam era that had manifested itself throughout British popular culture in the 1970s. Allowing this concept to come into being, O'Brien states that glam rock allowed me to be myself more. That was a quote. I'm sorry, I'm a little punch drunk talking about an awesome show. O'Brien took a small amount of his unfinished Rocky Horror to Australian director Jim Sharman, who decided he wanted to direct it at the small experimental space upstairs at the Royal Court Theatre, Sloane Square in Chelsea, London, which was it was used as a project space for new work. So Sharman had received considerable local acclaim as the director of the original Australian productions of Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar. He went to London to direct the first British stage production of Superstar, during which he met O'Brien. O'Brien had played King Herod in that production. Oh, I guess for just one performance, though, but I'm not exactly sure what the story behind that is. but, let's see, Sharman brought in fellow Australians Nell Campbell and longtime scenic designer partner Brian Thompson to the production. Star Tim Curry recalled his first encounter with the script. This is Tim Curry saying this. "I'd heard about the play because I lived on Paddington Street off Baker Street, which is also where Sherlock lived." and there was an old gym a few doors away. I saw Richard O'Brien in the street, and he said he'd just been to the gym to see if he could find a muscle man who could sing. I said, "Why do you need him to sing?" Ha ha ha. And he told me that his musical was going to be done, and I should talk to Jim Sharman. He gave me the script, and I thought, boy, if this works, it's going to be a smash. I love that he's... I love that. I love everything about that. He went to the gym to find a muscle man who could sing.
So funny.
The best. So funny. That feels to me like a Tom Meehan story. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I love that. Anywho. The original creative team was then rounded out by costume designer Sue Blaine and musical director Richard Hartley, although Pete Moss would later take over as the musical director. Michael White was also brought in to produce Rocky Horror, and as the musical went into rehearsal, the working title for it became They Came from Denton High. But it was changed just before previews at the suggestion of Sharman to the Rocky Horror Show, mm-hmm. which I'm really glad they did.
Yeah, the other one, no.
They Came from Denton High.
No.
Especially when Denton High is only mentioned like once right at the top of the show.
Nope.
So good suggestion, Jim Sharman. After two previews, the show premiered without an interval, so without an intermission. I guess interval is what they use in Britain.
Yeah.
At the Royal Court 63-seat theater upstairs on June 19th, 1973, and it ran until July 20th, 1973. The cast included Tim Curry, who had decided that Dr. Frank N. Furter shouldn't just be a queen, he should speak like the Queen of England, extravagantly posh. Patricia Quinn, Nell Campbell, who is billed as Little Nell, Julie Covington, and Richard O'Brien, who made the production, which was all-out camp and a creative triumph and also a critical and commercial success. Record producer Jonathan King, I love this part of the story. Jonathan King saw it on the second night and signed the cast to make the original cast recording over a long weekend that was rushed out on his UK Records label. He went to see a show, said, "Hey, you guys are making it. I love that you guys are making a cast recording. Mm-hmm. Let's go." Like, it doesn't work like that anymore. And it's so sad to me that we can't just make decisions like that.
That's how we end up losing. Again, I'm going to mention it. Shuffle Along with no cast recording. That's how we lose brilliant work
that. It's true. It's so true. Both performances or productions, I should say.
Yeah, that's right.
King was involved heavily in the initial promotion for the show, as well as being the minority backer of it financially, with White having a majority share. That's what I also love. You go to see a piece of music or a show or whatever, and you're like, you know what? I love this enough that I'm going to put my money in it and I'm going to back it. And I love that. Like, they really put their wallet where their mouth was or where their heart was. Anyway. The impact at the Royal Court upstairs allowed the production to be transferred to a 230-seat Chelsea Classic Cinema nearby on King's Road from August 14, 1973 to October 20, 1973. Rocky Horror found a quasi-permanent home at a 500-seat King's Road Theater, which was another cinema house, even further down King's Road from November 3, 1973. The show received critical praise and won the 1973 Evening Standard Award for Best Musical. The show's run at the King's Road Theater ended on March 31st, 1979. So that is just under 6 years before transferring to the Comedy Theater, which is now the Harold Pinter Theater, to begin performances on April 6th, 1979. At the new venue, Rocky Horror required some restaging, as it was the first theater that the musical had played with a traditional proscenium. Oh, I'm sorry, the first musical venue that they had played that had a traditional proscenium arch stage. For the first time, the musical was also broken into two acts with an intermission. It finished its run there on September 13th, 1980. Other productions included the original Los Angeles production, which was the American premiere. Lou Adler had made millions with Risky Ventures. His record label, Old excuse me, Ode Records, ODE, was becoming known for harvesting experimental talent. And in late winter of 1973, Adler was in London and attended a performance of the show. Acting on impulse and seeing a hit, he met backstage with producers and within 36 hours had secured the American theatrical rights. The show premiered at the Roxy Theater in Los Angeles on March 24, 1974, running for 9 months. The cast was all new, except for Tim Curry. The show played to a full house, and a deal was made with 20th Century Fox for a film. Fox executive Gordon Stolberg saw the show at the Roxy and agreed to invest $1 million in the film project. Adler's attempt to turn his club into a playhouse was successful. The singer Meatloaf remembers different celebrities who would come to the show, resulting in him meeting Elvis Presley at one of the performances.
So crazy.
Senator Al Franken was a young lighting apprentice brought in by Sid Strong. He recalls Adler had the show mounted by producer Brian Avnet and that both Curry and O'Brien were brought in from the UK. How fun is that? Like, this show has ever, like, it's like 6 degrees of separation for everybody.
Also, Al Franken as a lighting apprentice. I was like, he was a comedian. That's what I knew. But I didn't know that he also was trying to be a lighting designer.
Well, you know what? I think probably you get your foot in the door whenever, wherever you can. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like I did when I was, you know, doing like community theater, I would, if I wasn't in the show at the time, I'd be like, can I be the house manager? Mm-hmm. Can I do stage management this time? Can I work, you know, in the lighting booth this time? Just to kind of get your skill set, which, you know, if you're going to do theater, it's important to know those kind of things too. Yeah. Now we're going to skip to the original New York City Broadway production, which happened in early 1975. Adler closed the show at the Roxy after a 10-month run. This gave the actors time to return to the UK for the film's version shooting. Adler planned to open on Broadway just before the film's release. It was anticipated that this production would be as successful as Jesus Christ Superstar and serve as a public vehicle for the film version. The first preview was March 7, 1975. The show officially opened March 10, 1975. It was unssuccessful and closed April 6th, 1975, after 45 Crazy. Performances. Insane! Insane. So now we're going to skip to the 2000 Broadway revival. The Rocky Horror Show had a longer revival on Broadway from October 2000 to January 2002 at Circle in the Square Theater and featured Tom Hewitt as Frankenfurter, Alice Ripley as Janet, Jared Emick as Brad, Rala Sparza as Riff Raff, Joan Jett as Columbia and the Usherette, Lea Delaria as Eddie and Dr. Scott, who was amazing, and Daphne Rubin Vega as Magenta. From October 2001...
Wait, who played Frankenfurter? I missed
that. Tom Hewitt. And I think he got a Tony nom for it, along with Alice Ripley. I think Alice Ripley had a nom as well. But Tom Hewitt, yeah, he was great. All I remember is his, like, very, very, like, platinum blonde hair and ruby red sparkling lipstick. That's the picture I get of Tom Hewitt. I don't actually know what he looks like without the drag. Anyway, from October 2001 to January 2002, several guest celebrities played the narrator role normally performed by Dick Cavett, including...
Oh.
I know.
Oh,
isn't that fun?
I didn't know he was in that.
Including Kate Clinton, Gilbert Gottfried, Sally Jesse Raphael, Robin Leach, magicians Penn and Teller, New York Post columnist Cindy Adams, MTV personality Dave Holmes, and talk show host Jerry Springer. It is suggested that the revival, like other shows running at the time, closed early because of financial losses during the time following 9/11. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know. So why was it a flop? I have that all in caps. Why was it a flop? My own personal opinion is that it came too soon for commercial puritanical America to accept. It's one thing to have the protagonists fight and win against the evil people that would force their way of life on them. It's another altogether when the protagonists go along and really think about and consider that strange lifestyle. Not necessarily to follow suit, but to accept them the way they are and not to be so bothered by it. In 1975, the marginalized groups, read LGBTQ, pansexual, non-binary, were too low in numbers to make any real big difference. But the show never went away. True, it was a flop in the corporate theater arena, but the movie and the show have been performed countless times since the 1970s. Mm. I looked it up on Wednesday, and according to, which would have been like 2 months ago, and according to Samuel French website, there are 29 productions currently set for the near future just in the U.S. So, like, this is a and these high school shows and college, and like, this is a popular thing. But I think it is important to kind of reiterate that the marginalized groups that I mentioned before are low in numbers, but they have kept at it so strong in their convictions to have, you know, equal rights and like really be a part of the main narrative.
Right.
And they have succeeded in so many leaps and bounds just within the last 5 years.
Right, right.
But to think about, you know, just in terms of like this show being a complete flop in 1975, but now everybody knows what it is. So it might still be considered a flop, but it's a household name, which is really kind of incredible. Yeah. The legacy that Rocky Horror Show left was that it was one of the first musicals to depict fluid sexuality during a time of division between generations and an old world lack of sexual difference acceptance. At the time of its release, it pushed boundaries and has become a cultural icon which promotes empowerment of self-creation and all sexual orientations. Since the 70s, societal evolution of sexuality and gender have created cultural and legal change, coming closer to realizing the musical's futuristic vision of an accepting sexual revolution. Easy for me to say. But thank goodness I don't have to say anymore. Because that is Rocky Horror Show. Isn't that amazing?
It's really fascinating. I love that he was an actor and on his downtime and rainy days?
On winter days.
Winter days. Yeah. He would sit and write this.
I love that. Yeah. There was so much source material to go from, and I really couldn't include all of it within what I have written here. But it is really interesting to delve into Richard O'Brien as a person, like to find out what his history is. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance, you can read about him on Wikipedia, but on different websites as well. And he's a remarkable human being. I think I read it was like a blog or some sort of forum, but someone had mentioned how stupid Richard O'Brien must feel for having sold out this show at such a low price back in the 1970s. And someone else spoke up and was like, well, first of all, it's not that he sold out. It's that he was an out-of-work actor in the 1970s. And this was an opportunity for him to not only make money, but to create art.
Right.
And he did both.
Right.
Plus, he got to star in his own movie, star in his own show.
Right.
And the fact that everybody knows his art.
Right.
And it has become so profound and pervasive in this world, and has the legacy that I just spoke of, has to make him tremendously proud. Yeah. Kudos to you, Richard O'Brien, because you created something that we can all love and enjoy and have fun with, but also learn from.
Yeah.
And isn't that the point of most art?
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's what it's supposed to be. Love it. Give me your thoughts.
I was just so excited about Rocky Horror.
Me too. Yeah. Well, we'll have to find a theater. Like, if there's one in Astoria, I'm not sure that I would want to go to Midtown for
it. Holy jeez, no.
But you and I would love to go. Maybe after we go apple picking, we'll have to go and find a theater that's doing Rocky Horror Picture Show, because I think it would be so fun to go to with you. I look over and it's the most adorable scene. Puddle is like draped over Ebony's lap and she's just petting his head like a villain in a movie. There you go. There you have it. The Rocky Horror Show. I hope you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed listening to it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, it's fun. It's fun. It's such a cool show. And I just loved it. I loved being in it. I loved listening to it as a kid. I loved watching. It was always on during Halloween on TV. So I would, as a kid, I would watch it all the time. And do you know what I love too? Because this is what I was thinking. As a child, I didn't know what a transvestite was, but it certainly wasn't divisive to me.
Right.
He was just a guy wearing lipstick.
Yeah.
And that was really all my little, you know, brain could, would process.
Right.
Didn't think anything more of it. And I love that too. Okay. I think Sweet Pea is done.
She's so done. She was done before we started.
She was. Oh, I had a story I was going to tell and I completely lost it. Let me think on this for a second. Oh, okay. I know. So I got this message from my cousin on Facebook. Mm-hmm. My cousin isn't, I love him, but like this kind of stuff isn't his thing.
Right,
and
right.
that's totally fine.
Right.
But his wife has been a big supporter of us. And she's been listening to all of the episodes.
Oh,
and I love it. But
he, so fun.
He just messaged me on Facebook. And I have to, wait, let me see if I can find it.
Okay.
Because, well, I won't look for it because that's, it's, we've taken enough of your time, but the gist of it was, so I was working on something and his wife, Pilar had Merrily We Roll Along on in the background. And I decided that I would watch that movie, the documentary of Merrily We Roll Along.
The best, worst thing that could have ever happened. Thing,
exactly. But I think he called it that movie. He might've called it by its title. And so, long story short, he listened to the end of the podcast, decided he was going to watch the movie, Best Worst Thing That Could Happen, and he said he loved it. So I think we have made a fan for life, I Yay! Hope. If you're listening, Eric, shout out.
Wait, so he watched the movie and loved
it. He watched the movie and loved it, but I think he'll be listening to our podcast from now
on. Shout outs to Best Worst Thing. They follow us on Twitter.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Woo woo. It was a good movie. It was a good movie.
It's great.
You all should take our suggestions to heart because they are not bad suggestions. You will enjoy yourself.
If you like joy.
Right. I mean, if you don't like having fun and being entertained, then you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Not at all.
I can't imagine that you made it all the way to this point. But if you did, stop right now because you won't enjoy yourself from now on either.
You will, but you won't like it if you don't like joy.
It's like a paradox, isn't it? You will enjoy yourself, but you don't like to enjoy yourself.
Right.
So it's hard to wrap my mind around. So I'm just going to smile. check us out on Facebook, Theater Geeks Anonymous.
You can also follow us on Twitter at TGA.
B-way! Gmail, we've got an email account, so tgabway@gmail.com. Send us any comments, questions, salutes. Suggestions?
For shows. If
Please.
You have a show that you really love that we
Please.
Haven't talked about yet. I mean, Pamela and I have a list.
Oh, yeah.
That is so long and continues to grow. I have friends that are like, what about this show? What about that show?
Yeah, it's on
that
the list.
Show.
It's already there.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
That one is too. So is that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was originally supposed to be the first season and we didn't have time. We've got that.
But there was one day I was at the circus with one of my friends and he was like talking to another one of our friends and that's when he mentioned this show called Mail. I told you about and I had never heard of it before. So I like added that to the list. So
let us know.
I mean, there's bound to be something that you love
Absolutely.
Or know about that.
And hey, if you want to like send us a little brief description of what it is, send that too. Some of these shows we're finding, like we found, I think there were two shows now that we've tried to find information on that there's just no information on the internet.
So and that's really our only source. Like, well, no, we have
we
books
We do have some
too.
Books now. Yeah.
We have books.
Yeah. We're building up a library for Theater Geeks Anonymous.
We are. And then just like knowledge from friends is also a lot of fun.
A lot of my friends are on Broadway. I don't know if you knew that or not. There are a lot of them on Broadway. My friends. anywho. Hey, like, share, follow.
Yes.
Rate, review, subscribe
on iTunes.
Do all the things.
SoundCloud
and
we're
Stitcher,
also on Stitcher,
but only for people that don't have iPhones. Can I just tell you, I ordered an Apple Watch and I'm getting it tomorrow. And the only reason, well, I should say not the only reason, I used to have a Fitbit Charge HR that broke, and Fitbit was less than forthcoming on replacing it for me because it was just past the warranty, blah, blah, blah. But they said, oh, here's 25% discount. And I was like, well, I'll just buy an Apple Watch. And also, it's waterproof, so I don't have to take it off in the shower. So I can count every step.
So intense.
I know. I lose all those steps when I'm in the shower.
I don't understand the Fitbit thing. Like the steps. Yeah.
You know, I think for me at least, if I know that my steps are being counted, I am more likely to step more.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I don't know. It's kind of like at the end of the day.
A lot
I go,
of people I know love it, like, and have it. So it's kind of fun. That helps them.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to see how many steps you can walk in a day. Like, my goal right now is 14,000 steps, which is on the high end, but I'm in New York, so it's a walking city.
Right.
But, like, it is not beyond the realm of possibility that I'll come home and I've got, like, 20,000 steps at the end of the night. So I just think it's kind of cool. It keeps me walking. Like, because I look, if it's a Saturday and I don't have to work and I'm just here and, like, you know, doing laundry or watching TV and I look down and I've only got, like, 3,500 steps, I feel a little bad about myself. And I try to work harder next time. That's all. But my reasoning for bringing that up is because we were talking about Stitcher. And if you've got an iPhone, you can't go on Stitcher, but you can go on SoundCloud and iTunes.
Yes.
That is it. Okay. No more rambling. It's time for bed.
it's been a long day.
It is well past. Well, it's not even past my bedtime. I'm not just yet. Ready for bed now.
Thank you all so much
Thank
for listening
you
to
so
us. We
much.
Really appreciate you.
You guys are awesome. We have the best people in the world listening to us. It's all of our friends and family, and we thank
and
you.
And some people we don't know, because remember
That's
the
true.
Accent you did?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, the Australian
Donna,
accent.
If you're listening.
Donna called me on it. She said that my Australian accent was terrible, but I also knew that.
Thank you. Thank you for continuing to listen to us and support us, because she does.
Thanks, Donna. thanks, Donna. No, that
no,
was
don't
good.
Do it. Don't do it.
Maybe that was better, though.
I don't know.
Let me know.
Okay. I promised her we wouldn't try.
Oh, no.
And force her to listen.
Oh, I didn't know that she had made that promise, Donna. I'm sorry. I would never have done that had I known there was a promise in play. So I'm going to say it in a Southern accent. Thanks, Donna. That's better. All right, my dogs are chomping at the
They're
bit.
Done.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.